And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on Orlando City Soccer as they won last night against Philadelphia in the Open Cup at home, 2-1. He's my good friend, Austin David with the Orlando Sentinel. Austin, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing pretty good, Mark. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. All right. I know it's like a short week where over the weekend they lose, what was it, 4-1 MLS action. Short time where Tuesday night you got to come back. How did the team look in that victory 2-1 last night?
You know, against a team who's currently top of the East in the MLS standings, surprisingly good. I don't know what I was expecting after that 4-1 drubbing. I assumed the team would respond. I wasn't sure how they'd respond, if they had the energy to respond, because they played Saturday in Montreal, then flew back down, trained kind of on Monday because they flew back on Sunday, or Saturday night, Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And then they played on Tuesday. So I wasn't 100% sure how the team would look having played the way they did. And, you know, they played okay. I wouldn't say well, at least for the first half. The second half was much better. But there were still moments where you could say, okay, well, you know, this needs to get better. You know, there's players that need to be better. But you take a win against the top-ranked team in the East any day of the week, and especially in a knockout tournament like that.
Austin, who scored last night then for Orlando City?
So it was 0-0 through the first half. About 10 minutes into the second half, Mikey Holiday, one of the young homegrown players for Orlando, crossed the ball into the box. Junior Urso got onto the end of it, had his shot blocked, and it fell to designated player Ercan Kara, who tapped it in. And then 3 minutes later, after Orlando kind of suffered a little bit of Philly pressure, Andres Perea, who hasn't gotten a lot of playing time this year, he's been struggling a little bit with his form. He gets a ball that popped out to him about 30 yards out, and he just has a rip, and it goes straight into the back of the net. So 2 goals in 3 minutes, and the second one was arguably goal of the season for Orlando thus far.
Dude, how hard of a shot is that to score that from that far out?
Statistically speaking, it's like 1 in 10,000 shots go into the back of the net like that.
Man.
So it's ridiculous because there's so many things that have to be perfect with it. You have to hit it perfectly. You have to have the right trajectory. The goalkeeper has to miss the, like, it has to not deflect it through anybody on the way through. Just so many different factors have to go into that. It is very, very hard to hit it consistently, and that's why, you know, those shots are obviously, like, always on SportsCenter because they're just really hard to actually have happen.
If you're in a strategy situation, would a coach even tell you to attempt that shot in that situation?
No, absolutely not, because statistically it's, like I said, it's a bad shot. It's like a coach in basketball saying, you know, don't take a Stephen Curry range shot because statistically that's a bad shot for anybody but Stephen Curry. But Andres Perea is not a Stephen Curry. He's not scoring those every single game. So statistically speaking, bad shot. But having talked to Andres after the game, he said, you know, something in my mind just said, shoot. And I'm pretty sure the thing in his mind was the entire crowd yelling at him to shoot. But that's beside the point. He shot it and it went in, so good for him.
Was he excited that he scored the goal post-game?
Yeah. He was excited in the moment, too. He was running around. Rodrigo Schlegel, the center back, tackled him to the ground, and everyone was mobbing him after he scored. It was kind of a cathartic moment for him because of just the way the season has gone for him. He's lost his spot on the depth chart to different players, and he hasn't just gotten a lot of playing time. He missed some time due to injury and to other issues. So it's been a struggle for him considering the last couple years. He's been one of the most consistent players for Orlando coming off the bench. So I think that was just a moment where, like, everything came out for him, and maybe it's something for him to build on now.
We're here with Austin David, Orlando Sentinel, talking a little Orlando City Soccer. They went 2-1 against Philly. Okay, so they move on. Now what happens with this Open Cup?
Well, now there are games to be played tonight. And then on Thursday at 8 o'clock, they will be having another draw to see who Orlando will be playing and where they will be playing.
What are they in? The round of 16 now? Or is it 8?
Yes. So
oh, 16.
You're round of 16. So you're, what, 16, 8, 4, 2? You're 5 wins away from winning a trophy? Consider, like, the pathway for them to win a trophy is easier than any other pathway to any other trophy that they could win this year. Just simply because winning the MLS Cup playoffs, first you have to make the playoffs, and then you have to win out against some of the best teams in the league, versus the MLS regular season, which you have to beat out every other team. But this, you know, some teams don't take it as seriously. Some teams play B-team lineups or reserve players that don't necessarily get game time. So it's a little bit different when it comes to the U.S. Open Cup based on who takes it seriously. And Oscar Pareja, he's won it before, back with FC Dallas. So he knows kind of what it means, how to win it. And so far it's gotten pretty good for them.
What was the crowd like last night?
For a Tuesday night that was not necessarily on the original schedule, I'd say it was decent. I think it was like 7,000 to 9,000 is something, somewhere between 7,000 and 9,000 was the official attendance, and it looked close to it. You know, you had the wall about half full, and you had the stands on the far side kind of half full, and then the rest of it was empty. So all things considered, it wasn't terrible, but yeah, you could ask for more.
Yeah, no, I understand, but it is a good W. All right, so Orlando City, I know they're going to get back on track with MLS. Where do they go from here with the schedule?
Well, it's a lot of away games. So they just played in Montreal officially in the MLS schedule, and now they're back in Toronto in Canada, shall I say, back in Canada playing against Toronto this weekend. Then next weekend, they are in Texas to play Austin FC, who somehow is gone from kind of an okay team to one of the best offensive teams in the entire league. So that'll be a very interesting place to play, considering that their stadium is spectacular. It's brand new. And you got Matthew McConaughey there, so he'll be in his cowboy hat cheering on Austin FC against Orlando. Because, you know, that's something that I never thought I'd put in a sentence.
What are you the celebrity person for Orlando City then to take on Matthew McConaughey? Come on.
Oh God, no. I think who is? They've got a few different people that could be their celebrity person.
No.
I think there's some WWE people.
Oh, who could show? Look, Matthew McConaughey won an Academy Award. Orlando City's going to have to step up their game.
And they don't have anyone to compare to that.
No, they don't.
Well, actually, no, I lied. They have Kaká. Kaká won a Ballon d'Or. Best player in the world in 2007.
Okay, Kaká. There you go. There's your answer. And he actually played for the team. Take that, Matthew McConaughey. You jerk. That's what it is. So they're going to be on the road for the next couple weeks. You know, what did you take out then of the last MLS game against Montreal where they lost 4-1? Like, was it just a bad performance? What was it?
Yeah, I think it was a bad performance mixed in with the fact that Montreal had a bone to pick with Orlando. The last two games that Orlando played against Montreal were a bit more high stakes. The two games ago, it was the end of the regular season. The winner of the game between Orlando and Montreal would go to the playoffs. And Orlando went to Montreal and beat them to go to the playoffs and end Montreal's season. Then this season started with a game against Montreal where Orlando won 2-0 and kind of, I wouldn't say embarrassed Montreal, but certainly like it was a very different team back then, you know, a couple months ago. And I think when you beat a team to end their season at their house, they take it personally. So I think that there was a bit more emotion for Montreal and their fans involved in this game. But that doesn't discredit how bad Orlando played. They were off. Everything was off. It looked rough. And that's why I said at the beginning of the show, I didn't know how Orlando was going to respond to that, because when you take a drubbing like that, you can hang your head or just pick it right back up and get back to it. But that's been the issue with this team, is that they've been the responders, not the leaders, not the pragmatic people that they have been in the past, where they were the ones dominating games and not having to respond to being dominated in games. So I think that's the biggest thing for Orlando City this year, is that they're good at responding, but not good at the opposite.
All right, what's best case scenario then for you with the road trip coming up?
Let's see. Toronto's not been great. They're still waiting on one of their big players from the offseason to come in. So I would say that Toronto's a winnable game. Austin, I don't know. I think they could probably, best case scenario would be drawing in Austin. I don't see them getting a win, to be completely honest. I think they could go 1-0-1. Maybe one loss in between that two.
And then come home in a couple weeks. It's not bad. I will take
and
that.
And that home game, by the way, is against Oscar Pereja's former team in FC Dallas.
Never ends with you. Who is the player? Who is the player that got honored last night at the game?
Ah, yes, Robin Johnson. So he has now become the third player in Orlando City's MLS history to reach 100 games with the club. He joins Christian Higuita and Chris Mueller for that honor. So he's now officially played 101 games in all, or 102 games in all competitions. 101, because he was suspended for the game in Montreal. I had to remember that. But he officially in MLS standings, he is the third, but I think in all club history, if you go back to MLS, he's like the seventh.
It's not bad. Congratulations, then. Well, that's cool. What they gave him the jersey last night. What did it say, 1,000 on it? Was that the back of it?
No, it just said 100 for his 100 games. I think the other players got Rolexes, so I don't know if he got his. They probably didn't give it to him before the game, but let's hope he got one after.
I'm sorry you don't have a Rolex. I apologize. Sorry you don't.
I would know what to do with it if I had one.
Yeah, would you wear it? I don't even know.
No, absolutely not. I'd probably either store it in a safe or sell it.
It would say, congratulations, Austin David. You think you could sell that?
Yes. I just asked them to politely remove it.
Austin David, Orlando Sentinel. Let's go to the women. I know they got their first victory. What happened a couple days ago?
Yeah, so they went to L.A. and played Angel City FC, the new expansion team out in L.A. They were playing at Bank of California Stadium, where LAFC play. And within the third minute, Sydney LaRue scores the one and only goal in the entire game, and the Pride defend for 87 minutes and hold on to a 1-0 victory. Amanda Cromwell's first victory as the Pride head coach in her technically second official regular season game. And it just so happens that her first victory came 20 minutes from where she used to coach, because she coached at UCLA before she came to the Pride. So it was a bit of a special moment for her. A lot of the players on this Pride team are from the West Coast, from California area. A lot of USC, UCLA, Santa Clara players, they've got a lot of family there. So a lot of them were telling me, it felt like a home game to them because they had so many friends and family out there supporting the Pride and the players that played in California. So, they had a bit of renewed energy because of that and had all their friends and family. They wanted to show out for them. So getting the win was very special, but now trying to keep that momentum going back home. They play Kansas City this weekend at 6:30. And funny fact, I'll be on the call for that.
Very nice. There you go, buddy. What's it going to be on exactly for the broadcast? What channel, I mean?
So I'm on the international broadcast, so nobody in the U.S. area will be able to listen to me. But if you're in Canada or anywhere outside of the U.S. You can find the game on the NWSL website. I think there's a link to that. But otherwise, domestically, it's on Paramount Plus.
Is that what you tell the family, that I'm going to be on the call, but you can't hear me? Is that what you do to the family?
Well, no, I call my family in England and tell them they can listen to me.
They can, yes. So wait, you're going to speak English, right, on the international call? What's happening?
What do you mean? I'm speaking English right now.
You're a great man. You really are. I thought of you. And by the way, good luck with the call, man. That's coming up this weekend. Good luck.
Yep.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. I thought of you. Where? So did Chelsea FC? Did someone buy them? Did this happen?
Yes. Yes.
So what happened?
LA Dodgers. One of the LA Dodgers owners
bought the team, so that means Chelsea's going to come to Orlando, aren't they?
It sure does.
I'm very happy about this. I'm very happy. Because last time Austin came on, I think it was early last week, we were discussing this idea. If no one bought the team, then they wouldn't have been able to travel. So everything worked out for us, Austin. We're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, in all likelihood, you may not see the same Chelsea team you do now, because rumor is they're selling off all their players, but it's still Chelsea, I guess.
Would they sell the American superstar Christian Pulisic? Would he be sold?
I honestly think he wants out. I think he is ready to move on to something because of his role within the team. I think he wants to be a consistent starter and getting consistent playing time, not just coming in and off the bench or occasionally starting. But depending on how roster moves move out for Chelsea this offseason, maybe he'll be a consistent starter starting next year. Who knows?
If you were him and you want out of Chelsea, where would you go? Would you stay in the Premier League, go to a rival, or would you go to another country?
That's a good question. I don't know what necessarily fits his game more. I think he'd be challenged more in the Premier League. I think he'd come up against better competition and therefore making him a better player. But also, he needs a lot of confidence heading into the World Cup. So maybe he goes back to Germany. He's familiar with the play style over there. I don't think he'd go to Spain. Maybe he'd go to Spain, to one of the big top five teams over there. I don't see France in his future, though. Yeah, there's options.
I'd stay in the Premier League. That's what I would do. But I don't know.
I think for marketability, at the very least, I think that's his best place. Because how many people in America now watch Premier League games here? I think marketability, not only for his brand, but for the Premier League brand in America, I think it's incredibly important that he stays in the Premier League.
That's a great way of looking at it. I agree with you with this. I really do. You know, we've not talked about Team USA. Are you excited that they're going to be in the World Cup this fall?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that it's going to be interesting to see what the team looks like when it comes down to who makes the roster. They had a big blow this past weekend. Miles Robinson, the center back, starting center back for Team USA, ruptured his Achilles in Atlanta and is out for probably 8 months, so he probably is going to miss that World Cup. Players have come back from it before, like Cam Akers, but he's kind of a freak of nature, and nobody comes back from Achilles injuries that quickly, except for Cam Akers, apparently. But that's a big blow to the U.S.'s center back pairing, because he was the young up-and-comer that was getting some looks from Europe. So that's tough, but gives another opportunity to somebody else who can step up and play the role.
What are your best case scenario for Team USA competing this fall?
Make it out of the group stage.
I agree.
I think that's the bare minimum, considering that they didn't make the World Cup 4 years ago. It's important for them to, at the very least, put on a good performance. Considering all of the hype around some of the young players and the young talent, it'd be very disappointing if they didn't make it out of the group stage. But anything after that point is just, it's gravy. Like, for me, just making it out of the group stage would be great.
We will find out. His name is Austin David with the Orlando Sentinel. Before I let you go, what video games are you currently playing on PS5? I want to hear this.
Ooh.
Who are we playing?
What have I been playing? Okay, so lately I've actually been playing a lot of Call of Duty Zombies. My friends and I have gone back to some of the old games to play it, and just as like a group. And then I've also been playing a little bit of FIFA and Lego Star Wars.
Lady Killer Austin David. That's what that is. I went back and I was replaying Uncharted 4. That game is phenomenal. Like, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
It is amazing. That and replaying Halo Infinite. That's right. Lady Killer Mark Moses. That's right. Check out the Orlando Sentinel for the latest on all soccer here in Central Florida. Austin, thanks for your help and have a great day.
Of course, man. Anytime.